Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Matthew. We are blessed. If any church, this church, knows the good hand of God. I'm telling you, in case you are not aware of everything that is happening around you. It's going on and it's happening just like we prayed for just before Jesus comes. You are in the middle of a soul harvest. This fall was no doubt the greatest fall we have ever experienced as far as people being born again. And there was a host of people, and have been, it still is, a host of people being baptized after salvation as well. It's been a wonderful, wonderful fall. And I know this, you maybe don't know this, but I know this because I pray through the list every morning. Right now, we have 187 families that make up the membership of Fundamental Baptist Church. God has blessed us. And there's 7 or 8 families in the wings right now and ready to come our way. That's pretty exciting. And it isn't about getting more members at Fundamental. You and I know that. It's about preaching the gospel and getting more people to heaven. That is why we're here. And I just want you to know this is a church that is blessed of God, but it's not perfect. We had a pastor visit this fall. And he said, "I just love coming to Fundamental Baptist Church." And I basically said, "Well, why is that?" And he used the word that really kind of knocked me right out of my boots. He said, "Everything is so pristine." And I started laughing. I said, a lot of words come to my mind about Fundamental Baptist Church, but pristine, that really is not one of them. This is far, he was talking about the facility, and we got dirty corners, just so you know that. All right? This is far from a perfect church. I can't help but think of the time that a lady came to Charles Haddon Spurgeon at the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London and said, "Pastor Spurgeon, I've been looking for the perfect church." And he said, "Well, have you found it?" She said, "No, not yet." And he said, "Lady, once you find it, don't you join it, because you'll ruin it." The truth is, the church is made up of sinners. That sinners saved by grace. I want to preach this morning a parable, and trust you'll see why I'm preaching it. And I want it to be a word of warning. I love church. I love this church. I know we're not all we ought to be. And there's two kinds of people at Fundamental Baptist Church. There are sinners saved by grace, and there are sinners. People who are not yet born again. And whether it's on purpose or not, they're playing a charade. They're playing a game. It's the playing the part of the hypocrite. I have heard people say this over the years. "Well, I'd come to church, but it's full of hypocrites." That is as phony an excuse as anybody could ever come up with. There are hypocrites in every walk of life. How many love football? Raise your hand. Put it back down. How many really love football? Raise your hand. All right. Here's the deal. There are a lot of people who go to football games on Friday nights and Saturday afternoons and college games, high school games, NFL, that's just another world. I'm not even there anymore. But college and high school football, I love it. But here's the fact. There could be 100,000 people at the game, and you know there are people there that are not there because they love the game. They're hypocrites. They bought a ticket, and they really don't care who wins and who loses. They're there to see their son in a uniform. They're there to, you know, there's just all kinds of reasons. So you could say, "Well, there are phonies and there are hypocrites in football games too." But I don't see people turning their back on football. That's right. Hey, I've never seen a receiver yet that missed a pass that he should have caught, except he thought there was interference on the play. And every one of them do the same thing. They're hypocrites. They know there was no interference, but because they didn't catch it, they turn and look at the refs and go, you know, they're hypocrites, and yet they're still playing. You see the sidelines. They'll call, "Oh, it's a catch, it's a catch." And only one person maybe on that sideline saw whether it was a catch or not, and they're all saying it's a catch. They're hypocrites. They're phonies. You know, they're just kind of playing a game. And the church is unfortunately the same way. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew and chapter 13. Matthew and chapter 13. Newsflash, there are sinners in the church. Newsflash, there's a sinner in the pulpit. None of us have arrived. We've all got baggage. The main thing, the big deal is make sure you're a sinner saved by grace. Stand with me, please, and let me read a little bit out of Matthew in chapter 13. And I'm going to preach later on in the chapter, but I just want to read a couple of verses just to kind of get this thing started this morning. And I trust that God will bless you. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. There are going to be 7 seaside parables. Actually, 4. 3 are going to be in the house. All right. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon this morning. I want to preach like we read this morning, Paul in the book of Corinthians, with plainness of speech. I want it to be bold. I want it to be understood. But I know that if I'm doing that in the power of the flesh, nothing's going to come of it. So I again pray for an enabling, an unction, an anointing from above. God, get a hold of our hearts, our minds. Lord, get our nose in the Word of God, and may the Holy Spirit be our preacher this morning. I pray, Jesus, that you'd take over now, and God, if there's someone here not born again, we pray for souls to be saved. If there are those that are born again, not living for you, we pray for conviction. We pray for the saints of God that's a sinner saved by grace, and they're growing in grace and doing the best they can. Lord, we can all get better and we can all get more like you. So God, challenge us and increase our faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My heart was blessed last night. We had our dodgeball tournament, that teenage outreach, and I got the message that 3 teenagers came to Christ yesterday in the Heritage Center. Thank God for everybody that was there working, all the workers, all the adults, all the teens that were there. 3 more souls in heaven because of that effort, that little bit of extra effort. People got born into the family of God. Some of them may be here this morning. I see some new faces. Maybe some of them aren't here this morning. We need to help them to grow in grace. Okay, what's this parable thing all about? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You heard me this morning in Sunday school say, we are called of God to be serious students of the word of God. Jesus spoke in parables. He was speaking obliquely to Israel. He was speaking directly to his disciples, and I would say directly to the church of Jesus Christ, to you and to me. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, with a heavenly truth. Jesus spoke in parables because of the Jews' unbelieving and rebellion against God. Therefore, some of them, their heart had gotten hard and they weren't able to understand truth. So he speaks of earthly stories and he's giving principles pertaining specifically. Now, here's where I say rightly divide the word of truth. Don't get buried in this, but this is a kingdom parable. This is a parable that is a teaching directly concerning the kingdom. People misuse that all the time. The kingdom is when Jesus is seated upon the throne in Jerusalem and David is his vice regent. It's part of the Davidic covenant. The kingdom is the literal 1,000-year reign of Christ that is going to happen yet in the future. The church is here now. The kingdom is future. Now, some people are amillennialists. They believe that the millennial is the kingdom and they believe that there is no 1,000-year reign of Christ. Some are post-millennial. They believe that somehow the church, and if you believe this, you must also believe in evolution, and it's the same crowd that believes in theistic evolution. You think somehow the church is going to usher in the kingdom, you're wrong. You've got your theology all messed up. We are premillennialists. We believe the next event in the eschatological calendar is the rapture of the church. This world, look around you, I don't know if you know this or not, this world isn't getting any better. And the church is not going to usher in the kingdom. Here's what's going to happen. We are called of God as a church to evangelize the world, to be a light, that city that's set on a hill. And it's going to get darker and it's going to get darker, but there's going to be harvest, Philadelphia church, right up until the end. I kind of think of Custer's Last Stand, if I could think of it. We're going to be there and the enemy's going to be coming from every direction, and the rapture of the church is going to take place, and we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's called the blessed hope. That's the rapture of the church. That's what. So we're called of God to be faithful in these last days. Some Christians and some churches are going to have it more difficult than others. It's the way it is. Just accept it. I do believe we can have a national revival. I do believe this world can be won to Christ. And I also believe it is the mandate of the church to preach the gospel no matter how dark it gets. But eventually, sooner or later, perilous times are going to come. And we're going to be raptured off of this earth, 7 years of tribulation, and then Jesus Christ is going to rescue Israel, and then it's going to be the 1,000-year reign of Christ. So these parables are parables concerning truths, great truths, concerning the kingdom. But indirectly, it's concerning right now as well. That being said, skip ahead in chapter 13 over to verse 11. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. I got to say this again, just, I won't preach long in this parable. I'm building up to it, all right? The mystery, there are no mysteries of the church. The mystery that Paul, the apostle Paul, spoke of was the mystery, and this was so foreign to the Jewish mind, that Jew and Gentile could be one in Christ and become the church of Jesus Christ. That are not a people could become a people in Jesus Christ. That's the mystery. So there are no mysteries. So here's the deal. He said, I'm speaking in parables because those that are unbelievers, those that are rejecting me as the Messiah, they don't have ears to hear. They don't have eyes to see. They don't understand. And if you were in Sunday school class this morning, you heard that Jesus Christ makes all the difference in that veil that is over, that blindness that they have. And Jesus obliterates that veil and obliterates that blindness if they just come to Christ. But it says in verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. And skip all the way down to verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Now he's talking about the Old Testament saints. He's talking about the Old Testament prophets. He's saying they did not see my day except by way of the eye of faith. But you're here. You're here. And today this is the church age. And Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And he's the head of the church. And you get born into the family of God. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. But there is a truth that Jesus teaches concerning the kingdom that is also true today. This is called, what we are going to read is the parable of the wheat and the tares. T-A-R-E, tares. Not terror, T-E-R-R-O-R. Pretty good, I can spell, can't I? All right, there are terrors in the church, both kinds. There are terrors, and I'm not talking about the preacher's kids, all right? There are terrors in the church, T-A-R-E-S. That's a false wheat. That's those that are not born again. There's some great truths, and it applies to the church. Both wheat and terror will exist together during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Both saved and unsaved, wheat and terror, they look like they're saved, but they're not, will exist together during the church as well. And it's God that sorts them out. Look at Matthew 13. What a privilege it is to be part of the church. Verse 24. Another parable put he forth. He just prior to this, by the way, he teaches of the parable of the soils. And Jesus, again, it's an earthly story about a heavenly truth. He's not in these parables teaching about soils and mustard seed and leaven. No, he's teaching about souls and the family of God and bringing people to Christ. It says in verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them. saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while he slept, his enemy," that'd be the devil, "came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Tares are an undesirable weed that early looks like wheat, but when it matures, it becomes black and obnoxious, and it's obvious that it is not wheat. And the workers come to the owner and say, "Hey, should we sort them out?" And he said, Don't touch it. There'll be collateral damage. That's the job of God. And he will make no mistake. I say this again. There are people that are in the church that are not born again. Not everyone that knows the language is heaven bound. Not everyone that attends church is born again. Not everyone that puts an offering in the Joash boxes is saved. You could sing in the choir, teach Sunday school, preach in the pulpit, and be as lost as the devil. And only you know whether you have been born again. You can fool people around you. And that's why Jesus said, you know, leave the tares alone. Those that are false wheat in the family of God, you leave them there. I will not make a mistake. It'll be the difference between carpet bombing and a surgical strike. And I assure you, God will not make a mistake. I'll come back to that in just a moment. Verse 25, "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." When God's at work, the devil goes to church. "But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, 'Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence hath it tares?' And he said unto them, 'An enemy hath done this.' The servants said unto him, 'Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?' But he said, 'Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. And every soul is precious to God. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" That will be the job of God at the end of the millennial kingdom. Let me give you the millennial kingdom truth. The only people that go into the kingdom are people that are born again. I can't preach what the tribulation's all about, Book of Revelation, but the only people that go into the kingdom from this earth are people that are born again. We'll have our glorified bodies, but the people of the earth, they'll be born again. They'll be separated, goat nations and sheep. God won't make a mistake. They'll go in, but those people, they're mortal people, they will procreate. They will have children. And the kingdom is going to last for 1,000 years. That's a lot of generations. And their children are not born again, and they need to choose Christ. Satan is loosed at the end of the 1,000-year reign, and he'll actually deceive some of them, and they are not born again. There, Jesus is teaching concerning the kingdom that during the kingdom, there will be wheat and there will be tares. There will be people that are genuinely born again and people that are not genuinely born again, and they will live together. But make no mistake about it, God will sort them out. He'll send his angels to do so. Let's read verse 36. "Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, 'Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field.'" In other words, they'd heard another parable or two, but they wanted to know about the tares. "Jesus, when everybody was gone, tell us about the tares, the parable. We don't understand." "And he answered and said unto them, 'He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man.'" That's Jesus. "The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares, the darnel, the false wheat, are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world," end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. "And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world." It's a lake of fire. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So here's the deal. Wheat and false wheat, the tares, are planted together. They are processed together. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John and chapter 2. God help me to make this real clear and not muddy this up. Verse 19 of chapter 2. When God's at work, the devil, he goes to church. There are people, sad to say, under the preaching of the gospel, that look like they're born again and they're not saved. It says in verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Not everybody that says they're born again is born again. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew and chapter 7. Go back to the Gospel of Matthew and look at chapter 7. I guess I'll turn back there as well. And look at verse 21. Oh, he leads up to it with, beware of false prophets. Beware of those that are tares among you and they're not truly born again. There are false prophets. There are men in pulpits that know they're not saved and they're just making a good living. There are others that perhaps along the way they had good intentions, but it's just a big, big glorious or ill-glorious religious activity is all it is. And they love the praise of men. Not everyone that saith unto me, verse 21, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That's preachers. And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Not everybody that says they're born again is born again. Now, don't get cynical. It isn't God that is failing. It is man that is the hot mess. It isn't God on his throne that is doing wrong. It's the cosmos. It's the culture in which we live. And the fallen children of Adam. That's the problem. So just because somebody dresses up and goes to church and obliquely says, oh, I'm a Christian, that doesn't mean they're born again. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You need to make sure that you're born again. Simply put, I'm going to cut right to the end of my message. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Paul says to the church of Corinth, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Now, God isn't going to trick you. Everybody look up this way for just a moment. Oh, let me read 2 Peter 1:10. Brethren, make your calling and election sure, and ye shall never fall, and entrance will be given into the everlasting kingdom. Make sure, I'll speak plainly, make sure there was a time and a place you got born into the family of God. I'm preaching to everybody that's here, but I know I'm preaching to some people that are here and on the outside, everybody thinks you're saved and you've never been born again. There's never been a time, there's never been a place where you received Jesus, repented of your sin, and received Christ to be your Savior. Now, I want to say this on top of that. God will not trick you. Salvation is of the heart. It's by way of grace and mercy. You get saved not by a prayer. You get saved because in your heart, you understand you're a sinner and you call upon Christ and you ask him to save you. You understand you're lost and going to hell and Jesus is the only lifeline. He's the only way to heaven. So the point is this, you're not going to end this life and find out you didn't use the right magic word in your prayer where you called out to God. That's not it. That is not it. And that if you're thinking that, that's why you doubt your salvation all the time. All it is a sinner. You can provide that. I can provide that. A sinner coming to the only Savior. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a sinner. That's my part. That's your part. Coming to the Savior. That's Jesus. He did all the work on Mount Calvary 2,000 years ago. Just coming to him and saying, I'm lost and I'm undone. Like the publican. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said to the disciples, that man left righteous. The Pharisees that were there talking about all their religious action, they left unrighteous. It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. So understand this. I don't know if I prayed the right words. Don't worry about that. Say, man, I can't remember exactly what I prayed. It was a long time ago. Don't worry about that. If your heart was calling out to Christ, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life that very moment. Never to be erased. There for all of eternity. Because Jesus did all the work, and you're going to heaven because of the righteousness of Christ. So I just don't want you to sit back, because this will cause you not to serve God and have faith the way you ought to have faith and think, well, I hope I'm saved. I hope I did it right. I hope I used the magic word. There is no magic word. It's your heart. On the other hand, if you used what you thought was the magic word and you didn't mean it in your heart, that's not salvation. That's another religious act. You might just well light a candle. Doesn't do anything. You need Christ as your Savior. So Jesus said to the disciples said, Lord, the tares, the wheat, what's that all about? He says, I'll explain it to you. This is concerning the kingdom. I planted good seed. The devil came, he planted bad seed. They grow and they exist together, 1,000 years. They grow and they exist together. Don't worry about it. You know who you are, and I'll send the angels and separate the wheat from the tare from the wheat. The tares will be burned, and the wheat, my children, will shine in God's kingdom, in their Father's kingdom. Salvation is of God. It's grace. It's mercy. You can't just look like your wheat, because you can dress up like wheat, however wheat, you can picture that in your mind. Dress up like wheat, comb your hair like wheat. Yeah, just, you know, whatever you got to do. I don't worry about those kinds of things anymore. Ray, my hair's not messy right now, is it? No, I don't have to worry about those kinds of things anymore. Ray's looking at me like, some kind of idiot or what? I just seen if you were listening, that's all. Those kind of things, you know, the peripheral things, the external things, it's a heart. It's a heart. Now, let me talk to the teenagers and grade school kids. If you think you're going to heaven with mom and dad just because they told you you got saved, that's not salvation. You, with your heart, need to call upon God. And he'll save you, whether it's by your bed, under a tree, at the church house, wherever it is. He'll save you, and you become a child of God. It's a heart. The tares look like wheat. They look like it early. But when they mature, it's very obvious that they are not. In closing, let's look at Revelation in chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Verses 7 through 9. And when the 1,000 years, remember we're talking about the kingdom, remember that? Does my microphone seem to go in and out periodically? No? Okay. Old man ears, here we go. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, that's Russia and Germany, by the way. And by the way, the kings of the east that are spoken of in that final battle, that's none other than China and the eastern countries over there, without Christians in them, by the way. You know China right now has the number one navy in the world? Our own military is saying that. Okay, getting behind myself. But there's going to be a great battle. And they shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them together to battle, and the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and Jerusalem, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That great battle is coming. That great battle, that final battle, Armageddon is going to take place, and it's all going to be finished. And then at the end of the millennial kingdom, there's going to be another great battle, and that is described here in Revelation in chapter 20, and the devil's going to be cast into the lake of fire. By the way, so is the false wheat. Going to spend forever in the devil's hell. Okay, I didn't end this message the way I wanted to, but I trust it's clear. There are hypocrites in the church, and some of them aren't saved. On the other hand, there are people in the church that are a little bit phony, but they did get saved. They just haven't grown in grace. And God says, you let them be processed together. I'll take care of them in the end. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.